Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a damning report by the New York City Department of Investigation has found that the New York City Housing Authority, which oversees roughly 180,000 apartments, hasn't inspected those apartments for lead paint in 4 years, despite claiming to do so. The report says NYCHA chairwoman Shola Olatoye had signed off on papers confirming the inspections anyway, even after knowing the inspections weren't happening, which of course would be in violation of local and federal law, as well as just wrong. The issue has been under investigation by the Fed since last year, apparently. And after the news broke about false reports related to lead paint inspections, two senior officials have resigned, while a third NYCHA official was demoted and suspended. And now the Daily News reports that Mayor de Blasio also knew for more than a year that NYCHA wasn't performing lead inspections after Chairwoman Olatoye reported it to him. Joining us now to tell us more about the investigation is City Council Member Richie Torres, who represents District 15, which includes the Central Bronx, and he's also on the City Council Committee on Public Housing. Councilman Torres, welcome back to WNYC.
It's an honor to be here, Brian.
Can you tell us first your understanding about what Mayor de Blasio knew and when he knew it?
Why, my understanding is that when the chairperson found out that the Housing Authority had been falsely certifying lead paint inspections, she brought it to the attention not only to the federal regulators, but also the mayor. But by the time the mayor found out, my understanding is that it was known to the federal government as well as to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
So I'm confused about NYCHA Chairwoman Shola Olatoye's role. Did she collude, to use a word of this year, in covering up the fact that inspections weren't being done but were being reported as done? Did she collude in it, or did she, when it came to her attention, blow the whistle on it?
It's a combination of both. So she did sign the false certification, but at the same time, when she became aware of the false certification, she did inform federal regulators. The question is, why did she inform federal regulators? Did she do it out of her own volition, or did she do it under pressure from an investigation from the U.S. Attorney's Office? It's worth noting that in addition to the DOI report, NYCHA is under investigation from the U.S. Attorney's Office regarding its noncompliance with federal law on lead paint inspections.
How much of an issue is lead paint in public housing at this point? People who've been around for a while and are hearing this might think, God, lead paint, that was from decades ago. I thought they already got that out of everywhere.
So I think it's important to preface these conversations with a disclaimer, right? There is no evidence of an epidemic of lead poisoning in public housing. Since 2010, there have only been 17 apartments where children have tested positive for hazardously high level of lead paint. So we have to be careful not to create a panic among residents in public housing and give the impression that there's a public health emergency. At the same time, there is evidence, as shown in the DOI report, that NYCHA has consistently lied to the federal government under oath about conducting lead paint inspections. In public housing, there are 55,000 apartments that are either known or presumed to have lead paint. NYCHA went 4 years certifying visual assessments in those 55,000 apartments that never actually underwent inspection. And so for me, the issue is not the problem of lead poisoning, which is negligible in public housing. The fundamental issue is a crisis of public confidence in the credibility of the Housing Authority. And the only hope for restoring public trust is an independent monitor, which I have called for.
And so does this generalize to trust in the Housing Authority in ways other than lead paint?
It could, especially on matters of public health, whether it be lead or mold. But by virtue of lying to the federal government for 4 years, NYCHA has shown that it cannot be fully trusted to conduct lead paint inspections without supervision, nor can it be trusted to report honestly on the results of those inspections. And so there's an indisputable need for a third-party monitor. Now, there's a distinct possibility that the investigation from the U.S. attorney could result in a settlement that imposes an independent monitor. So whether it comes from DOI or the state or the U.S. attorney, it seems to me that an independent monitor might be inevitable.
And listeners, if you want to call in from public housing or from anywhere else, talk to City Council Member Richie Torres from the Bronx, a member of the Committee on Public Housing, as we talk about this lead paint and lead paint misrepresentation, apparently, as to the status of it in many public housing units. 212-433-WNYC. And we'll go on to a few other city issues, too. So anything for Richie Torres, 212-433-9692. What do you want to be done with any apartments that still have lead paint? I think public health experts decades ago landed on it's not best for the children who might get exposed to lead paint and have brain damage from it, etc. It's not best to go chopping up the walls and trying to remove all the paint. It's better to leave it unless it seems to be crumbling. Or what's your understanding as the best practice at this point?
So my understanding of the best practice and the requirements of the law is that NYCHA is supposed to inspect annually apartments that are either known or presumed to have lead paint. And then once those apartments become vacant, then you can do the deeper gut rehabilitations that could remove lead paint. But for the reasons that you stated earlier, it would be unwise to do so while there are children in the apartment, because children ages 6 or under are susceptible to neurological damage that can result from lead paint.
But that the inspections are important to make sure that the walls aren't starting to crumble, in which case exposure
Precisely.
Could happen even if it's been painted over.
If there's a chip that falls on a windowsill or a radiator and a child, not knowing better, ingests a chip of lead paint, then it can do real damage. That's why those inspections are critically important.
What's the role of the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development in this? Because according to the Department of Investigation report, the city stopped conducting annual inspections of apartments for general conditions after HUD relaxed its rules for doing so in 2012. Is that your understanding? And if so, is some of this on the Obama administration?
I mean, my understanding is that both federal law and local law requires annual inspections of apartments that are presumed or known to have lead paint, and that NYCHA was falsely certifying that it had actually conducted inspections that were never performed. So as far as I'm concerned, the burden of responsibility falls squarely on the shoulders of NYCHA.
Let's take a phone call. Eric in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Doing this kind of quickly, I worked for a private corporation. I was in charge of tenant services for them, but was aware of the whole management thing. But managed several public housing-run buildings that were at one time taken over by the city in REM, and they were in fairly bad condition. We had to fight very, very hard to get any services, to get them in fair condition. In some of the buildings, they did check for lead, and they did something where they closed off the building and did a lot of work. But the contractors, at one time we caught, they're sending in a contractor that was not fully licensed, for example. And they overcharged, they didn't do the work on schedule. At one point, I arranged a place to stay for a woman who had severe health problems and even rented a hospital bed for her. And they changed the date at the last minute. I think the Housing Authority was trying, without enough resources, to conduct what needed more resources. And there was a squeeze at all times on public housing. And the real crisis isn't a crisis in competence, but the fact that much of the staff that wanted to protect their own positions and had little sympathy with the residents in the projects thought they were running a privately owned corporation and were willing to squeeze resources down.
Oh, boy. Eric, thank you very much. How much of that are you aware of and do you agree with in terms of his interpretation of it, Councilman?
Well, I think the most striking part of his comment was the resource question. You know, it could be the case that NYCHA lacks the resources to conduct all the inspections required by federal law. And if that's true, then NYCHA should say so rather than lie to the federal government about conducting those inspections. Right? If NYCHA were to acknowledge that there are resource constraints, then the burden would fall on the city and state to ensure that those inspections could happen.
And this is an issue currently in the Trump administration with their proposed budget, right? That even as the tax bill is out there, which would cut revenues to the federal government, that they would cut NYCHA funding even more, correct?
Precisely. I mean, even before Donald Trump, NYCHA had been so savagely starved of funding that it's come to accumulate $17 billion worth of capital needs. And that's based on a needs assessment dating back to 2011. I suspect the number is much higher. But Donald Trump's budget has the potential to drive NYCHA off a cliff. So there's no question that NYCHA faces monumental fiscal challenges. My only point is that NYCHA should be forthright about those challenges rather than mislead the public or mislead the federal government about a matter of public health like lead paint inspections.
Can you make the case for a second to Republicans out there in Red America about why New York City public housing should receive federal tax dollars as opposed to it being considered a local affair?
Because NYCHA is an institution like no other. It's the largest provider of affordable housing in the country. I can tell you I'm the youngest elected official in New York City, and I would not be where I am today but for public housing and the stability that it gave me. It's the greatest affordable housing program that we have. It provides affordable housing to those in greatest need. It's the greatest homeless prevention program that we have. Without public housing, instead of 60,000 people in our shelters, we could have hundreds of thousands of people overflowing our shelters. So it's an institution that is vitally important to the quality of life and safety and stability of the most important city in the United States.
You're the youngest elected official in the city. How old are you?
I'm 29.
And you want to tell people your story a little bit about how public housing gave you the grounding to launch as a successful adult?
Well, look, the beauty of living in public housing is that, you know, if there's a loss of income or if there's a loss of job, as there often was in my family, your income, your rent is adjusted in light of changes in income. And so there were moments when we did lose income, my family and I, my mother and I, who had to raise my brother, sister, and myself. But we never feared losing our home. We always knew, we always had the peace of mind that came with knowing that we were living in a stable, permanent, affordable home. You know, I remember my time fondly living in Throgs Neck houses. And it's the reason that I became an elected official. I see public housing as part of the safety net that made it possible for me to rise, and I see it as my mission to defend that safety net for the next generation.
Is that why you wanted to join the Public Housing Committee when you got on City Council?
Not only join, but chair of the Public
Housing
Committee.
Oh, you're the chair. Forgive me.
Yes. It's the best committee in the City Council. It's the equivalent of overseeing a city unto itself. So.
And my guest is New York City Councilman Richie Torres, chair of the Public Housing Committee, among other things that he does, representing the Central Bronx in City Council as we talk primarily about this Department of Investigation report on lead paint inspections not being done but being reported as being done in some public housing units. And Paul, in the Reese houses on 10th Street, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you on.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking this topic and putting it on air, and thanks to the councilman telling a story about being part of public housing. I am an adopted father of three after a tragic event, and if it wasn't for public housing, it wouldn't be possible to care for the children and to give them the life that they have right now. That's one. There's some other concerns, you know, while living in this housing. I'm at Reese Housing now. We moved to Rutgers when I was around 15 years old in 1987, 1988. And this lead paint problem is not something that just occurred in the last couple of years. It's ongoing, and, you know, I think it's kind of sad that we're, you know, one.
Right, that we're even still talking about this in 2017. But, Paul, did you also have a personal experience with a son that you told my screener about? I think Paul's line dropped out, unfortunately. Okay. Well, let's go on to another call. How about Andres in the Bronx? You're on WNYC. Andres, are you there?
Hey, how are you today? My grandmother passed away a few weeks ago. And I'm a paralegal at an environmental company. And she had been living in, I guess, the Pelham houses in the Pelham Parkway section of the Bronx for about 60 years. And outside of her stage 4 cancer, she had some, like, neurological problems like Alzheimer's and dementia. So it's my sister who's a nurse. And we decided that after my grandma passed, we'd test her. So the nursing home checked her out. And for some reason, when we moved her to NYCHA, that hospice, they found out she had abnormally high lead levels. And we're just wondering, like, she's gone, and that's fine, and we're just worried about her neighbors now and everyone there, because they have a preschool on site.
Councilman.
The address is 2250 Wallace Avenue.
2250.
I'm familiar with Pelham Parkway houses, actually, only a few blocks outside my district. That's a troubling story, and I think it demonstrates that we have to be more proactive in testing public housing residents, especially those 6 or younger, for levels of lead paint exposure.
Some people, I think, are calling on Chairwoman Cholotoye to resign her position as head of NYCHA because of these revelations. Are you?
No. Even though the public and the political establishment has every reason to be outraged, I do believe the calls for resignation are premature. The chairperson should have an opportunity to come before a city council oversight hearing and address directly the findings of the DOI report while facing questions from the city council. But the deeper issue is a loss of credibility, and a loss of credibility, an institutional loss of credibility, will not be solved by the resignation of one person. It can only be solved by the appointment of an independent monitor. So that's where my focus will lie, is advocating for an independent monitor.
Joy in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joy.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to, I guess, kind of share with you guys. I used to be a tenant organizer for people who lived in public housing. So we dealt with people from NYCHA. We dealt with people from HPD. And your guest said that there were 17 reported lead incidents last year. A huge part of that is simply because you're dealing with a group of people who, quite frankly, are just not comfortable dealing with NYCHA officials. Low-income people are just less likely to advocate for the things that they want. And having dealt with people from NYCHA and HPD, one thing I've noticed is that a lot of times the tenants are treated really poorly just by just frontline staff. And there's kind of this overall attitude where it's like, well, you know, you're living in public housing, you should be grateful for what you get. And I think because of that, anytime I've dealt with families who had kids who were lead poisoned, a lot of times they just gave up and just said, well, you know, we'll just deal with this ourselves.
Councilman?
Well, as I understand, the testing for lead poisoning is conducted not so much by NYCHA, but by the Department of Health. Those numbers are coming from the Department of Health, but I agree. I want to be careful not to generalize about the behavior of NYCHA staff. I do agree that there needs to be a culture of customer service, and ultimately the villain is the federal government, because the savage neglect of public housing has driven down the morale of NYCHA staff as well as NYCHA residents themselves.
What about Joy's general statement that low-income people are less likely to advocate for themselves and don't feel that they're going to get that much responsiveness from NYCHA.
That's absolutely true. I think in relation to government in general, low-income people tend to feel more disenfranchised and disempowered, and have no lobbyists, have no independent expenditures, have less voice at every level of government. We do our best to change that, but those feelings of disenfranchisement persist.
Joy, I'm curious for you, as a former NYCHA tenant organizer, what would you see as the number one issue going forward for those tenants, whether or not it gets the most publicity among the issues that tenants have?
Well, I think that that tenants actually need to be involved in the process. The organization, the reason why we did what we did was because, tenants were scared to say anything. But I think that it just ultimately means that the residents need to be involved in the process.
Joy, thank you very much. We just have a little bit of time left, Councilman. I'm just going to change the subject for 1 second here to go out. Mayor de Blasio has been reelected, as you know. And he ran in his first term on a lot of specific inequality-fighting things, pre-K, minimum wage, paid sick leave, a number of other things. Do you see items coming up that he ran on for term two, or things that you would advocate for term two that maybe weren't so prevalent in the campaign?
Well, I'm concerned that the mayor's going to govern under much more challenging circumstances over the next 4 years than he did in the previous 4 years, right? You know, the Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is the largest public hospital system in the country, is on the verge of collapse and could cease to exist within the next few years. You know, NYCHA's capital need is ballooning to levels we've never seen before. The homelessness crisis shows no signs of abating. We could face severe budget cuts from the Trump administration, and the business cycle being what it is, the economy would likely go into recession, which means fewer revenues for the city. So I'm concerned about the challenges that might lie ahead over the next 4 years.
City Councilman Richie Torres from the Central Bronx, among other things, chair of the Public Housing Committee on Public Housing. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Of course.